Good evening and welcome to our Good Friday service, where we remember and we celebrate the fact that Christ came to this earth to take on our flesh, that he was willing to go all the way to the cross, to die in our place, to secure the complete forgiveness of all our sins. This evening, we are going to be reading scripture together, singing some songs together, and meditating on God's word together. And we're going to start in about 2 or 3 minutes from now, but we're going to give everyone a time to get linked on here. And hopefully you can go ahead and grab either your red Trinity songbook or your blue Psalter hymnal, and we're going to be singing 3 songs, and I'll announce them when we get to them. So go ahead and grab your Bibles and your songbooks, and we'll start in about 2 minutes from now. Let's begin with prayer together. Our Almighty God and Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day that you have made, this Good Friday that we can celebrate, remember, and believe that the precious blood of Jesus Christ was shed for the complete forgiveness of all of our sins. We thank you for the Lamb of God who takes away our sins, and we thank you for the fact that Christ was willing to come to this earth, to take on the form of a servant, that he was willing to humble himself, that he was willing to take up that cross for us and carry it. And we do thank you, O Lord, that we can come together this evening to celebrate, to remember, believe, and to be reminded of the great gift that we have, that the Passover lamb has shed its blood, that we pass through the blood and through the water, and that we might be washed and cleansed and renewed and made right in God's sight. We do pray, Lord, that you'd bless our time together in this evening. We pray that our singing together would be an encouragement to one another and bring glory to your name, that our meditation upon your word would be in keeping with the truth of your word, that we would be strengthened and encouraged as we consider the blessings that you have revealed to us in that word. And as we are apart from one another, we do pray that we would still be built together in love as the body of Christ. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our first scripture reading for this evening is Psalm 22. If you want to go ahead and grab your Bibles, we're going to be reading from Psalm 22 for our first reading. And we're going to be reading the first 24 verses of Psalm 22. Psalm 22, I'll be reading from the English Standard Version, and we're going to be reading the first 24 verses. Psalm 22, to the choir master according to the Doe of the Dawn, a psalm of David. My God, my God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from saving me from the words of my groaning? O my God, I cry by day, but you do not answer, and by night, but I find no rest. Yet you are holy, enthroned on the praises of Israel. In you our fathers trusted. They trusted, and you delivered them. To you they cried and were rescued. In you they trusted and were not put to shame. But I am a worm and not a man, scorned by mankind and despised by the people. All who see me mock me. They make mouths at me. They wag their heads. He trusts in the Lord. Let him deliver him. Let him rescue him, for he delights in him. Yet you are he who took me from the womb. You made me trust in you at my mother's breast. On you was I cast from my birth, and from my mother's womb you have been my God. Be not far from me, for trouble is near, and there is none to help. Many bulls encompass me. Strong bulls of Bashan surround me. They open wide their mouths at me, like ravaging and roaring lions. I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It's melted within my breast. My strength is dried up like potsherd, and my tongue sticks to my jaws. You lay me in the dust of death. For dogs encompass me, a company of evildoers encircle me. They have pierced my hands and feet. I can count all my bones. They stare and gloat over me. They divide my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots. But you, O Lord, do not be far off. O you, my help, come quickly to my aid. Deliver my soul from the sword, my precious life from the power of the dog. Save me from the mouth of the lion. You have rescued me from the horns of the wild oxen. I will tell of your name to my brothers. In the midst of the congregation, I will praise you. You who fear the Lord, praise him. All you offspring of Jacob, glorify him, and stand in awe of him, all you offspring of Israel. For he has not despised or abhorred the afflicted, or the affliction of the afflicted, and he has not hidden his face from him, but has heard when he cried. These words that we just read from Psalm 22, you can hear at various parts throughout this psalm how it very clearly speaks to the suffering of Christ. And I'm going to spend a few moments meditating just on that opening stanza, "My God, my God, why have you forsaken me?" What does it mean that Jesus Christ was forsaken? When Jesus cried out these words on the cross, my God, why have you forsaken me? How was he forsaken? When Christ uttered these words, he was suffering the hellish agony, the separation from the Father, the turning away of the Father's gaze, the falling shadow of darkness. To have the only begotten and beloved Son, in whom the Father delighted, in whom there was no wrong, in whom there was no iniquity, to have him forsaken, to be made a curse. Why would this be? Why would the Father forsake his Son? And even when Jesus cried out, he cried to my God. He did not cry out, my Father who is in heaven. He cried out to God. Even his prayer acknowledged this separation. To be forsaken is to be left, is to be placed behind, is to be set apart as abandoned, as accursed. It's the opposite of blessings and to be embraced, to be left all alone, to be deserted. In fact, as Jesus had said, when he would be lifted up, when the shepherd would be struck, the sheep would leave him. But here we are not reading about the separation that Jesus had from all of his friends. Yes, it is true, his friends did forsake him. They each ran away in fear. Jesus is speaking about a separation, a desertion, an abandonment by his own Father. Jesus was suffering on the cross. To be made a byword, to be sneered at by men is one thing, but to be forsaken by God the Father. Who can grasp the depth of this horror? That he suffered not only in his body, yes, he did, excruciating pain in his body, but the suffering that he experienced in his soul, his person cut from the loving embrace and support of the Heavenly Father. Now, why would Jesus experience this? Why would he cry out on the cross in the darkness? Not because of any sin or blemish that he had in himself. Because Jesus was perfect. Jesus was holy. He had never done anything that would cause the Father to display any unlove from his Father. It was because Jesus was experiencing what we deserved. We deserve to be separated. We deserve to be cast out. We deserve to be forsaken by the Father because of our sins. Because of our sins, we deserve to be separated from God. We deserve to be cast out from his presence. But Jesus did this. Jesus took on this state of being forsaken for us. Why would he do this? Because of his love. It was the love of the Father that moved the Father to send his Son. It was the love of the Son that moved him to come and take on our flesh, to be made a servant, to be made humble and lowly, and to be willing to even be forsaken by his Father, to come and die on the cross, accursed for us, sin made sin for us. Why did Jesus do this? He did this so that we might never be forsaken. He suffered so that we would never need to suffer for our sins, but that we would be blessed. He died so that we might live. He was forsaken so that we would be embraced, that we would be welcomed, that we would be brought into God's presence. Indeed, those who are joined to Jesus by faith will never experience the abandonment that Jesus here experienced on the cross. Jesus took the cup of God's wrath and drank it down to the dregs, to the very last drop, so that you and I, as God's children, would never have to drink from that cup, so that we would rather receive the cup of blessings, and truly in Christ, the cup of blessings for us overflow. Let's turn now for our first song, the singing of Man of Sorrows. If you have a blue Psalter hymnal, the old blue Psalter hymnal, it's going to be number 381. 381, Man of Sorrows, What a Name. If you have the new red Trinity Psalter hymnal, that's 352. So in the blue, it's 381, in the red, 352. And I'll be using the computer here with the recording of the song, so I hope this works okay. We're going to try to sing all four stanzas that are here listed in the blue, 381, Man of Sorrows.
Sorrows, what a name for the Son of God who came, ruined sinners to reclaim. Hallelujah, what a Savior. Bearing shame and scoffing, condemned he stood, sealed my pardon with his blood. Hallelujah, what a Savior. Lifted up was he to die, it is finished was his cry.
Now for our second reading, I'm going to be reading from Romans chapter 6. If you'd like to read with me in your Bibles, from Romans chapter 6. And we're going to be reading just the first 9 verses here of Romans chapter 6 that speak of how we are dead to sin and alive to God. Being united to Christ in his death means that we have died with Christ, and we are therefore dead to sin, and therefore sin does not reign and rule over us. So Romans chapter 6, I'm going to be reading the first 9 verses. What then shall we say? Are we to continue in sin that grace may abound? By no means. How can we who died to sin still live in it? Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We are buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have been united with him in a death like this, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like this. We know that our old self was crucified with him in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing, so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin. For one who has died has been set free from sin. Now if we have died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. We know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. Death no longer has dominion over him. And that's as far as reading from Romans. And for our next two readings, I'm going to be interacting with a meditation here written by Dr. DeYoung. Today we live in an age of individualism. Everyone wants to be by himself and to do his own thing. This is nothing short of a way to certain death. Indeed, the gospel does not crush out personality and personal responsibilities, but it warns us repeatedly against supposing that we can live and die unto ourselves, that we are masters of our own lives and our own destinies. In fact, as it was in the days of Judges, everyone did what was right in his own eyes, so we see in our day today, even with our lives being isolated and all alone in our homes, we find that there is an individual focus in our lives and in our communities. You see, this is not how God made us to be. God created us in covenant bonds. And since sin's entrance into the world, there are two kinds of covenant bonds. We are either, first of all, in the first Adam, belonging to the unbelieving world, or we belong to the last Adam, Jesus Christ, or the believing church of God's people. There are not three classes, but only two classes of people. Either you are still in Adam, fallen, sinful, and dead, or in Jesus Christ, born again, holy, and alive. How then do we see ourselves? Instead of thinking of the cross as something far removed from us in time and space, we stand in contemplation beneath it. The cross is something that both happened for us and to us. That's why Paul here writes, "Now our old man has been crucified with him." That old Adamic nature of sin, wherein we were conceived and born, has been crucified with Christ. This broke our connection with the first Adam, and therefore sin no longer reigns and rules over us. This, by God's grace, being united to Christ, means that we are united to him in death and also in resurrection. And so all who look to Jesus Christ as their Savior, seeing him die on the cross because of their sins, also receive the new life that Christ has, which we celebrate in a few days. So then we ask ourselves the question, are we in the first or in the last Adam? Is the man of sin and the desires of the flesh still reigning and ruling in our lives? This cannot be if we are joined to Christ in faith. How you answer this question, in which person you find yourself, depends your future for time and eternity. Those who are in the second Adam, the Lord Jesus Christ, no longer want their way, no longer seek their own things. They seek to walk in freedom from sin's control, of which the Savior has set them free. For freedom, we shall praise him and we shall look to him. But being united to Christ also has an effect not only on our future, but on our daily living. Being united to Christ in death means that death does not rule over us today. But the great power of Christ's blood is not only evident in changing in which covenant we find ourselves, it also cleanses us and cleanses our daily walk. Sometimes, when the gospel has awakened us to a deep sense of sin and shame, we find it difficult to lift our eyes to the living God. Our sins rise up against us. They accuse us before the tribunal of our conscience. We know and feel that we have grievously sinned against all of God's goodness and His grace. It becomes difficult to take hold of God's promises and to offer our prayers. But for this, too, the death and resurrection of Christ provides the answer. The blood that was shed not only secures for us an entrance into the covenant, being united to the second Adam, His blood also sprinkles our heart and conscience to wash away the evil effects and consequences today. What I mean is this: because the gospel assures us that Jesus paid it all, that salvation is nothing that we can add to or purchase, we no longer seek our worthiness in ourselves, and that frees us to live as obedient, joy-filled Christians. His blood was shed for the complete forgiveness of all our sins, and that cleanses our consciences as well. And seeing Him and His grace and glory, we now dare to draw near to God, from whom all blessings flow. We draw near with the confidence of children, knowing that we have been surely pardoned. We know this because the Bible tells us so. The voice of our accusing conscience is stilled. We know that our place has been secured by Christ. So we lift up our voices to sing praise to our heavenly Savior. Let's come to our Lord in prayer. Our dear Lord and blessed Jesus, before your cross we kneel. First of all, we see the heinousness of our sin. We see the iniquity that caused you to be made a curse, the evil that excites the severity of divine wrath. Show to us, O Lord, the enormity of our guilt by the crown of thorns, the pierced hands and feet, and the bruised body, and the dying cry. Your blood, that blood that was shed, is the blood of the Son, and it is of infinite value, and we thank you, O Lord, for this value beyond all thought and measure. Because it must be infinite, we pray a prayer of thanksgiving that this infinite gift has been given, and we confess that it must be infinite because our evil and guilt demand such a price. Sin is a malady. It's our monster, our foe, a viper. We are born in death. We see it in our character. We see it dominating our faculties. It follows us like a wretched shadow, intermingling with our every thought. The chain that holds us captive to the empire of the old man. Sinner that we are, who will save us from this body of sin and death? Yet thanks be to God. Your compassion is sufficient. Your grace is sufficient. We love you, O Lord. We love you, Jesus Christ, that your mercy has evidenced itself in the stripes that Christ received. Let us, as your people, walk in humility, in the lowest depths of humiliation. We pray, O Lord, that our hearts would be tender when we sin. When we see that sin, that we would acknowledge it in its grotesque nature and acknowledge the great gift that Christ has given to us in removing us from sin. We thank you for that sacrifice which we remember this day. Who are we that you would consider our need? Thank you, God, for the precious blood that was shed on Calvary, which we celebrate today. Amen. Let's now turn for our second song. We're going to sing When I Survey the Wondrous Cross. And this is found in our blue Psalter hymnals on page 350, in our red Trinity Psalter hymnals is 338, When I Survey the Wondrous Cross. When I Survey the Wondrous Cross, and I believe there are four stanzas, and we're going to sing all four together, 338 in the red Trinity and 350 in the blue.
The wondrous cross on which the Prince of Glory died, my richest gain I count but loss, and poor save in the death of Christ my God. All the vain things that charm me most, I sacrifice them to His blood. See from His head, His hands, His feet, sorrow and love flow mingled down. Did it such love and sorrow meet?
For our next reading, we're going to be reading from John chapter 1. If you'd like to read with me, we're going to be reading from John chapter 1, verses 29 through 37. John chapter 1, starting at verse 29 and reading to verse 37. The next day he saw Jesus coming towards him and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, 'After me comes a man who ranks before me, because he was before me.' I myself did not know him, but for this purpose I came baptizing with water, that he might be revealed to Israel. And John bore witness, 'I saw the Spirit descend from heaven like a dove, and it remained on him. I myself did not know him, but he who sent me to baptize with water said to me, "He on whom you see the Spirit descend and remain, this is he who baptizes with the Holy Spirit. And I have seen and have borne witness that this is the Son of God." The next day, again, John was standing with two of his disciples, and he looked at Jesus as he walked by and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God." The two disciples heard him say this, and they followed Jesus. Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. For centuries, the Israelites kept the Passover, faithfully remembering the grace and glory that the covenantal God had demonstrated to the Israelites by giving them the Passover, that they would have the opportunity to have this blood shed and smeared on the doorposts of their houses. And by having this blood shed and smeared on the doorposts of their homes, they were able to escape the angel of death. It became an abiding truth and principle that apart from the shedding of blood, there would be no forgiveness of sins. And apart from the blood of the Lamb, there is no hope and no rescue. All that was only a shadow of the greater and richer blood which God would provide in the gift of his beloved Son, Jesus Christ. He alone would be the Lamb of God which would take away the sins of the world. The sins of the world, the sins of all God's people, rich or poor, educated or unlearned, Jew and Gentile, slave and free, the sins of all God's people alike find their full remission secured in this all-sufficient Savior. But this calls for a deep sense of humility, an acknowledgement and confession, crying out, "Be merciful to me, a sinner. Why do we need the blood shed for us? because without the shedding of this blood, there would be no forgiveness. Once again, we see that our lives are deeply stained with sins great and small, sins which deserve the displeasure of a holy and righteous good God. And such a sense of sin must stir within us a repentance, an acknowledgement, and also a faith that moves us to flee to God and to seek for and from Him forgiveness, looking to the one Savior who offered Himself in this painful and shameful and accursed death on the cross to make a full atonement and satisfaction which could not be found in anyone or anything else. And herein is where we find our love and our devotion. Do we yearn? Do we desire? Do we long to flee to this Christ? When we see our sin, do we acknowledge it? Do we hate it? Do we flee it from it? Do we seek to put it to death? Let it be our heart's desire throughout this day and as we look forward to the coming of Resurrection Day that we would see our sin again more clearly. When we understand and we appreciate the high price that Jesus paid for us, our hearts will be filled with joy, overflowing gratitude, and our hands will be filled with works of thanksgiving as we celebrate this Lamb of God who takes away the sins of His people. Let's come again to our Lord in prayer. O Lord, our God, we marvel that You would send Your Son to become the incarnate, to become the crucified, to become that the one that would be dead and buried. The grave calls forth, and we respond with adoring wonder, because that grave which was filled is now empty. The fourfold Gospels attest to this fact. We thank You, O Lord, that we would have the opportunity to know Jesus and that not only that He would die for us, but that He would be raised again. Give us, O Lord, a heart that wants to see our sin crucified with Christ because it has already been crucified with Him. We pray, O Lord, that we would die to the selfishness, to the rebellion, to the pride, to the anger that lives within us, that we might not hear the voice of that charmer, that the deceiver would not receive reception in our arms, that we might be delivered from his lusts. O Lord, there is so much ill still within us. Crucify it, Lord. Put to death, mortify the flesh within. Purge us from selfishness, the fear of man, the love of approval, the shame of being considered old-fashioned, O Lord, that we would not desire the fancies and the delicacies of this world. Let us reckon our old life dead because of the crucifixion. May we never feed it as a living thing. Grant to us that we would stand with the dying Savior to be content, to be rejected, to be despised, to be forsaken. Let us take up our cross and follow Him. Let us be willing to take up those unpopular truths. Let us hold fast to the gospel and to grace. Help me to be resolute and Christ-centered. Never let me wander from the path of obedience. Strengthen us for the battle that is ahead. Give us courage for all of our trials and grace for all of the joys. When times are difficult, help us to be patient. When times are well, help us to be thankful. Help us to be holy, happy people, free from every sinful desire and from everything contrary to Your will. Grant to us more and more the resurrection of life. May it rule us. May Your Spirit enable us to walk in His power. Mold us in the image. We pray that You would cause us to be faithful and true, that we would look more like Christ, that we would be salt and life in this world. We do thank You for this time that we have to meditate on the sacrifice of Christ, and may we never grow tired of hearing of the great things that Christ has done for us. In His name we pray. Amen. Our closing song is going to be found in the Red Trinity Songbook, 476, When Peace Like a River Attendeth My Way, 476. Here it's entitled, It Is Well With My Soul. Or in the blue psalm hymn was 445, "When Peace Like a River." Blue 445, and in the red Trinity 476. Let's come to our Lord in our closing prayer. Our Father in heaven, we do pray for your blessing and your peace and your countenance to be upon us. We thank you for Jesus Christ, that he was willing to be forsaken that we might be embraced, that he was willing to be cursed that we might be blessed. We thank you, O Lord, for the complete forgiveness of all of our sins that the sacrifice of Christ once for all was made, so that our consciences might also be cleansed, that we might be crucified with Christ. Therefore, we no longer live, but Christ lives in us by his Spirit. May we as Christians go forth in this truth, daily putting to death the sins that remain and coming alive in the image of Christ. We pray that you would watch over this congregation wherever they might be in this day. Bless them with your spirit, with your grace. May they be given the health and strength that they need, that we would show this world that we are not living for ourselves, but we are living for Christ who purchased us with his one sacrifice on the cross. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, thank you for joining us for our Good Friday service. I hope that you were encouraged, and we look forward to coming together again on Sunday as we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ. I pray that you would all be blessed, and I pray to see you all soon, Lord willing. Take care, and God bless. Goodbye.